Welcome, everybody, to the coolest podcast there is, Podcasting Softly. I'm Frank, and I'm joined with my BFF, Kyle Donovan. How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Good. Today, we're going to talk about The Void, which hit VOD last month, was it?
I think it was early this month.
Early this month. You might be right. I've seen it twice. I rewatched it tonight for our chat. Kyle has seen it as many times as I've seen Rogue One. So it's going to be interesting to be on this side of the conversation for me. But before we get into The Void, Kyle saw Alien last night for Alien Day.
Yes.
And he did see the first 15 minutes of... Was it the first 15 minutes of Alien Covenant?
No. Okay. So,
take over. I want to hear about Alien Covenant.
All right. So what they did was they started the feature of Scott's Alien, and there was a message from him, you know, stay after the credits. We're going to show you some footage. It was three basically five-minute segments, little vignettes from different parts of the film. They've been seen before because I read some reports of them, but they kind of spliced all of them. They've shown them in different places, and they spliced them all together, the first of which is available online. I think it's called The Crossing, is what if you look up like Alien Covenant, The Crossing, I believe it is. That's the first vignette, the first 5 minutes. And what that is, I'm not going to go like huge into spoilers, but I'll just kind of be general with it. But it starts off and it's like, they talk about how Prometheus was a failure, was a disaster, but the survivors got a ship and they took off in search of the engineers. And so the first segment is Shaw rebuilding David, the android, and then from there it's basically Fassbender monologuing over, like voiceover of everything that's happening. He's like exploring the engineer's ship. You see there the space jockey suits, and he puts Shaw into their version of the sleep chambers, and then it cuts to this really stunning sequence of, I'm being a little bit more in depth on this one because everybody can see it, but this stunning sequence of their ship arriving on what I assume is the engineer's home planet, and there's this like hovering thing in the sky and it connects to it, and then below there's like crowds of people, but it's like CG and it's like far away, but I assume it's like the engineers or whatever, and they're kind of running to meet the ship like underneath. And then he drops the, I think it's a little overused at this point, but the Ozymandias, you know, look upon my works in despair, quote. And the cargo bay opens, and there's literally, like, all of the black canisters from the original about to drop on the crowd below them. And I was kind of taken aback because that really kind of flipped the idea of what I thought was going to happen. But then I remembered that there was a bunch of footage that leaked from the filming of Covenant showing kind of like a Mayan. It almost looked like a Mayan temple, and there's a bunch of dead aliens and a bunch of dead engineers. So I'm thinking that's what sets that up, and that's like the prologue about how the planet that the Covenant ship comes to gets wiped out, and there's no civilization there except for these alien things or whatever. Then it cuts to the next vignette, which is vintage aliens, crew on the ship, getting ready to leave the ship in another vessel, going down to explore. And they even do the seating just like aliens. They're all like in combat seating, you know, with their little bars on them. And it's a lot of banter between Crudup as the captain and Danny McBride. And they make a couple of like jokes and here and there. I kind of tuned out because I don't know, like Danny McBride, I'm still kind of but the cool part is you get like really good views of each of the characters. They don't get into what they're about, but you can kind of tell what they're about just by the way they carry themselves and the gear. The, you know, like there's another android, there's another Fassbender, and he's there and they're all geared out and they've got weapons and all this kind of stuff. And then they go in and there's a lot of great shots of the Covenant approaching the planet. And then they go down, and it's just like Alien and Aliens. There's turbulence and all that, and there's weather effects, and then they land. And that's like the middle segment. The last segment, however, is the game changer. I don't want to go into a ton of detail because it is like super spoilery. Like, people die. A lot of people die in this in this segment. And you can get hints of it because they kind of have shown snippets of it in the preview. But essentially, one person is brought back to the scout ship who's been infected. And they show that on the preview, like it's coming through his back. And so there's characters in the medical bay dealing with that. And then they get locked in because another character is trying to quarantine them. And then they're getting weaponry, trying to deal with what happens with that. And then it just gets – it's so fast and violent. I cannot stress how much more violent this 5 minutes was than the entire Aliens franchise. I mean, like, gore. And it's CGI, and people are going to complain. There are going to be those people. But, like, we're in the year 2017. This is the way it is. So, just, you know, which is – and I brought that up only because we're going to talk about The Void, which
right,
is –
right, that's a good segue.
But while that's happening simultaneously – the away party, if you will, has another infected person that they're trying to get back to the ship. And so while that's happening in the ship, horrible, grotesque things are happening like 100 yards away in the middle of a field, and then it just all goes pear-shaped. And then fades to black, Alien Covenant. I mean, it was that, like, I was sitting, you know, with, you know, because we're packed in because it was assigned seating, so everybody picked the middle. And everybody there, I mean, nobody was breathing, nobody was talking, and it ended, and everybody was like, wow. I mean, it's, if I had to sum it up, just to, so we can get on to The Void, it's like he took the horror angle of Alien and the action angle of Aliens, and he's just cranking them up to 10. And he wants to do, like, a real fusion of the styles is what I took away from it. I mean, there's action, explosions, blood, gut. I mean, just horrific stuff. So I was not excited until I watched that thing. And then I was like, okay, all right, this is not, you know. So
your hype level's at, like, 10.
Yes, definitely. I think people are going to make the obvious comparisons to Prometheus. I love it, warts and all. I think this is going to make people happy. I think this is what people have been waiting for. But one thing that I would point out that I noticed from viewing Alien is that I think we are much more, just in general as viewers and consumers, we're much more unforgiving of characters making silly decisions. Prometheus is a great example. I was super hard on it when it first came out. I'm like, oh my God, why would you take off your helmet? Why would you do this thing? But fear really plays into how you react, that fight or flight lizard brain thing. And you see it in Alien. There's all kinds of bad decisions they make. You know, go find the cat by yourself. Lambert, get out of the way so I can flamethrow the, you know, fear and just being out of your element really plays into that. And so I'm hoping that people keep an open mind. And I think that he did it just with what I saw in that last final clip. He did a really good job of showing that, how horror and insanity and just you don't know and all you're trying to do is survive, you make mistakes. And so I don't know, I felt like the decisions I saw that were cataclysmic in this little clip were very organic to me. They didn't seem out of place like in Prometheus where you've got a ship full of these smart people who are making weird choices. I don't know. All that said, I still love Prometheus. But
no, yeah, I was just thinking with you saying everything, I think we should circle back probably around after the release of Alien, or maybe we could do one mega podcast before the release of the next Alien film. But I really love Prometheus. I know it's got issues, and I know there's a ton of people that fucking hate it. But I think it's a grand idea. And I like it because it's, you know, I like it because it stands on its own without having to rely on the Alien franchise. But then at the end of the movie, he ties in the Alien franchise, which, if you look at it from a certain viewpoint, is almost an unnecessary ending to the movie. You know, it's like just make Prometheus and have it be in the same universe as Blade Runner and Alien and, like, maybe kind of try and connect stuff, but then let it be, because I've always felt that, I think you agree with me and a lot of other people would, that Blade Runner and Alien take place within the same universe. I mean, geez, I don't think we'll ever get that cross connection between the two franchises, which we don't need it, but that's what I've always respected about Prometheus is it's own movie.
And it's as if fate would agree with you, because I believe the next Blade Runner 2049 trailer is going to be before Covenant.
Right.
So there you go. No, I agree, and I agree with you on Prometheus. I think that he was making a film he wanted to make. He was telling a story he wanted to tell. And I think people were expecting more Alien. And I think that's, Prometheus asked some very big questions.
Yeah.
And I think that people didn't want that. They wanted the Xenomorph.
Right. And it,
you know.
And it's like, we'll get to the Void, I promise everybody. But it's almost like Prometheus is way too smart for people to really kind of get the gist of it. And I felt like so much has been written about the movie and so much has been analyzed, and people just don't give a shit about it because it's not what they wanted, like you said. But I almost feel that had that movie been a little bit more clear with what it was trying to say, people really would have been offended by the messaging, I think. And
yes,
that's what I really respected about the movie, was it was so dense. And when you actually break it down and analyze it and remove the xenomorph and remove the alien aspect of it, it's just like, holy shit. This is a smart movie.
Existential terror.
Right.
And I like how, and I think that it's really summed up in Fassbender's character. Like, I was discussing this on my feed the other night, and somebody said, you know, that scene where Guy Pearce, Waylon gets taken out, and, you know, the android's like, have a good ride, sir. You know, I mean,
right.
It's like,
right.
Like, yeah, just cold, logical, ideas of the universe beyond, which is, by the way, something that The Void plays with.
Boom! Now we're finally going to talk about The Void. Okay, my assessment is pretty brief, and I know it's going to get, I know we're going to get really into it, but I remember the trailers for this movie were excellent. The trailers for this movie got me really excited. My buddy bought the movie on my Vudu account because he was hard up on seeing this movie, so I saw it essentially. I don't know if I saw it the day it came out, but I watched it. I actually think I did watch it the day it came out. It came out on a Friday, VOD. My initial reaction was that this is like a Carpenter / Hellraiser, more so Hellraiser 2 porno. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No,
I mean, like The Thing. You got Assault in Precinct 13. You really have Hellraiser 2 Hellbound. I mean, it is like these three movies just kind of all got thrown together on screen. I think the story kind of lacks a little bit of depth, which I'm forgiving for, because this movie is just insanely fun to watch. And it's a glory to watch because of the practical effects, because of the animatronics. And I think that's pretty much anybody who really enjoyed this film and liked that kind of stuff will really love The Void. I mean, now I want you to take over and tell me. I mean, I know you love this movie.
I do. But I also don't disagree with you. I think that anyone who is not a fan of what they're trying to do is not a fan of those films will hate this. I think that the characters are weak. I can't argue around that, and I won't try to. Why I think it's exceptional, if I had to rate it, I'd say like 4 out of 5 or something like that. I don't like necessarily having to, but okay, so you have the practical effects, and we'll get there, and that's awesome. But you have – there's the Carpenter element. There's the Hellraiser 2 element. There's even some Fulci in there with the Beyond. Specifically, the ending is straight rip. But I like – I was thinking about this because I knew that this was going to be like the big kind of thing. I think what I really liked about it – number one, I really like their marketing campaign. I know that seems silly, but I love that they built kind of their own little – universe and
right,
around
they built
it
their own echo chambers.
You know, yeah, and you got people really excited. I love the cultist aesthetic with the white robe and the triangle doorway. I was talking with another film friend today who's real big into the occult, and he made a lot of references to the triangle in the Neon Demon. My wife as well, who's a huge film lover, she made a comment. She's like, have you noticed that there's a lot of triangle imagery? And I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, she's right. I mean, there's so the triangle in the Beyond is essentially like the doorway, or it could be like the all-seeing God's eye, and it's the pyramid that they eventually want to worship. But there's also like the triangles, like it's like a tonic thing with like fertility, which is in like the Neon Demon with the three women and their opposing views, and then it's in Beyond the Black Rainbow, where like this main character who takes this psychedelic psychic trip, he has like the shock, like the third eye triangle, like on the forehead. So I really like that imagery. People, I'm getting away from what I love, but people make a lot of Lovecraftian references, and I actually think at first I said that, but in retrospect, I'm not sure it's entirely true. It's there on the surface, but Lovecraft is more about like normal people exploring things they shouldn't explore, and then essentially going insane.
Right.
Like, you know, like Carpenter, Fulci are more like the full-on tentacle horror, the gory practical effects, and these kind of cosmic terrors. Like Reanimator, Stuart Gordon, those kind of creatures. But the thing that I dug about it was a lot of the indie scene, especially with horror, because we're in such a horror renaissance right now. Like, as a horror fan, I love it. Like, I mean, there's so many great horror films in the past. Like, I'd say pretty much since 2010. There's just been this real great resurgence with like doing more with less. You got Blumhouse
is killing it.
Killing it. But I noticed that a lot of the acclaimed films, you know, like It Follows, The Babadook, I name those because people are always arguing which one's better, but they really do take like an art house approach, right? Like it's kind of like an abstract approach to horror, which I love. You know, I like that this didn't do that. They didn't try to be flashy. They made a low budget. You know, this film should have a VHS cover.
You're right.
And you should be sneaking it on a Friday night to like convince your dad to rent it for you. And that's what I loved. I was reading some review. I think it was actually on Ebert, and they were like trashing it pretty hard and talking about how, you know, all of like the low budget pastiche that they use. And I'm like, well, of course they didn't have money. So like, yes, like the lighting effect is great. Like one sequence that really stands out for me where you really get the kind of practical effects splendor is in the beginning. Well, like probably the end of the first act where the state trooper is pulled in by the nurse's monster thing. And they all, you know, they're hacking it to pieces in the hallway and they're shooting and all that. But there's that light hanging from the ceiling that's like doing the strobe effect. And it's just brilliant because it's like they got to show off their creature, but they didn't have to show any of the flaws. And they didn't, you know, and like they didn't have to rely on subpar acting because, you know, they've got newer actors and all that. And so they use lighting to great effect to cover up their shortcomings. I agree that the characters are weak. They're very, but they're not archetypal, which I also enjoyed. Like you have the father son duo vigilante guys that show up, but they're kind of atypical because they have this like weird relationship.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like they're going to be, you know what you're going to get, but then as it unfolds, and even like the hero is not really a hero. He's kind of just like a normal guy thrown into the blender. But I loved how the narrative really was about cheating death and defying death. And like, so like the basic, like estrangement of the police officer and his wife, you know, they lost the child and all that. And then you have the pregnant woman and the doctor. And side note, it took me like a couple times, but I absolutely love now that the junkie, the guy that he brings to the hospital, I love that his opening move is to immediately kill the doctor.
Right. I noticed that when I watched that again.
Yeah, like it seems kind of out of place the first time. Like, I mean, you're like, well, that's a little extreme, and like in my mind, I just kind of wrote it off. Oh, well, this is an extreme film. They're just, but now I'm like, oh, it makes sense that of course he wants to kill this guy. He knows what he is, you know.
Right.
But I loved how they wove that idea of like, you know, lost children, and I mean, because like essentially, like that's why the doctor, you know, like death, you know, why the doctor does all this awful stuff and discovers all this, and just the final shot is really what makes it just work for me. Like, it's like you have this awful crucible, and then you have, you know, the Fulci beyond, like they're in this other place, but in the Beyond, they succumb to what they've been fighting the whole time. That, you know, they go blind and their eyes change and they're just kind of there in limbo and it's like over. But in this, it's like they join hands. And I really love that final scene. It's one of my favorite final scenes because in recent years, because I just love that idea that it's like, yeah, they may die, but they've come back together. And so I like that. I think that the hype train is probably pushing a lot of the momentum on this. Like, there is a lot of people that are really, really singing its praises. Namely, and I think that that's kind of representative of the fact that we're starved for Carpenter. We're starved for practical effects, down and dirty horror, and not CGI bonanza. Now, it's funny that I say that because I started off saying, you know, with Alien, right, like, it is 2017. So I understand that that's a little hypocritical, but I just think that my point in saying that is that the only way we're going to get that now is in films like this.
I agree, and I want to address the whole CGI thing just quickly because you brought it up earlier, and then it just got brought up again. I completely agree with you that it's 2017, and we're going to be using CGI effects. And I think that most of the time when people complain about CGI, it's just a bullshit excuse of why they don't like a movie. It's one of those go-to pivots to shit on something. It's like, oh, it's got too much CGI. There's too much CGI blood. It's like, dude, get the fuck. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, that's what it is. That's the way movies are made now. And most of these same people that complain about that are going to hate The Void. They're going to hate The Void because of the lack of character development. They're going to hate The Void because it doesn't have actors that they recognize in it. And then there's a subcategory of that. Here's what I think was lacking for the most part that I wanted to see from The Void, because I didn't know anything going into it aside from a couple trailers. I didn't know what the cast was. I think that the movie was missing genre players. But aside from
yes.
that, you're right. This is a movie that should have a VHS cover. And better yet, this is the type of movie that you would have watched that would have been a copy of a VHS. You know
yes.
what I mean? Like, in your friend's basement on a Friday night, it's like, we rented this from, you know, the local video store. I copied it on my dad's camcorder. And then my buddy copied it. I mean, this is the type of movie. I think of, like, Critters. I think of the Blob remake. I mean, this is that movie.
Creature, the Alien ripoff.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, this is that, the Leviathan. I know you guys talked about it.
Yes!
I love the Leviathan.
Yes!
You and Nate talked about it. The Leviathan's great. I mean, that's the best Carpenter Alien ripoff ever made. I mean,
yes.
with the Jaws ripoff line at the end of the movie, say, ah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But to get back to it, I mean, you know me, I'm somebody that's hard on movies. I'm somebody that's pretentious about movies, but I own a bunch of Dolph Lundgren movies. I know what I'm going into, and I want to be entertained. I'm not as big into horror as you are. It's not a particular genre that interests me, but the movies like The Void interest me. And it's not just because of the practical effects, and it's not just because of an ode to Carpenter or even Cronenberg. Now that we're talking about it, I think there's a lot of early Cronenberg.
Definitely.
Or seminal Cronenberg, I should say, thrown into this movie. And I look at this two ways. I look at it as it's just kind of a bullshit genre movie, and then that doesn't have any substance. But at the same time, it has a grand idea. And I think the grand idea is really great, and it is very interesting trying to figure out how it's going to unravel and trying to figure out where it's headed, and then once you get there, it's just like, oh, fuck. But it's not an oh fuck moment because their hands interlock at the end of the movie, and I do agree with you. I think that is a fantastic ending. But I think that this is a movie that people who want a movie like this are absolutely going to love.
Yeah, I think, you know, listening to what you're saying, you really kind of dialed into, I think, probably my big problem with it. Despite loving it, is, you know, what keeps it from breaking the, you know, breaking that ceiling. You talk about Cronenberg, Carpenter, I'll use Carpenter because I think that's probably the easiest way to explain what I'm thinking. So Assault on Precinct 13, I actually just watched that recently too in preparation for this because I was like, oh, I got to watch this. So my wife actually came in. She was like, hey, this is like Assault on Precinct 13 with tentacles. And I was like, yeah, except for it's really not, because other than it being a siege story, the cultists don't really have a lot of personality. They have a great aesthetic. But the thing that makes Assault great and that I think makes these kind of films great and what they missed is, I don't want to be so cliche as to say the social implications, but, Assault is about police and gang violence, gangs taking on the establishment. It's got an African-American protagonist in a time when that was kind of not a thing.
Cool.
It's got an immensely badass female character in Assault, the secretary who kind of becomes animal mother, and then it's got the unforgettable prisoner, got a smoke, and the mutual respect that trio builds is so important and is saying so much for the time. That's what I love about Carpenter, is that he's always saying something, and it's usually a middle finger to the establishment in some way.
Right, it's always a fuck the man movie.
Yeah, but I love specifically in the ending of that where there's that that mutual respect where like the captain refuses to let the man handle the prisoner and he walks him to the prison, when they get rescued or whatever. And the Void really is missing that. It doesn't have that deep. Now it tries, and like I said, I love the hands interlocking and there is that theme, but it doesn't explore it because these guys wanted to showcase the effects.
Right.
And so on its nose, I give it higher marks only because it knew what it was, very self-aware, this is what we're doing.
Right.
That's it. And I think that's why it's not going to be anywhere near like my top 10 at the end of the year or anything like that. But right now it is, just because I think this has been a very weak year thus far. But yeah, I think they just, I'm interested to see what they would do with a script by someone else and maybe a little bit more proficient cast. I don't, like you said, if they had genre actors, I'm not saying they needed A-list, they just needed some personality in there.
They needed the genre actors that Rob Zombie stacks into his movies. Not to get too carried away, but I haven't liked really much of anything that Rob Zombie's done aside from Devil's Rejects. I think Devil's Rejects is maybe a masterpiece. I don't know. I'd have to revisit it in a couple of years, but I watch it fairly often, and that's not my type of movie. And I think he's kind of misfired with everything since. I haven't seen... You saw it, right? What was his last movie? What was after Lords of Salem?
31.
Right. I haven't seen 31 yet, but I want to. I mean, I'm going to watch every Rob Zombie movie. But what makes Rob Zombie movies special is the nostalgia of those genre actors. And you're right. I don't want to bag on this because I want people to watch The Void, and I don't want it to sound like I'm being overly critical, but genre actors and a script by somebody else, like, yeah. That's what would have put this movie over the top. It would have been like, it might not have been It Follows territory, because I think, like you were saying, It Follows has something to say.
Big
time. I loved It Follows. I like The Witch a lot. The Babadook I thought was a little overrated. I think I have to watch that again. I wasn't crazy about it. But, and I hate to keep saying this because now I'm sounding like the anti of what I was saying earlier about people bitching about CGI. But I mean, for people who absolutely love practical effects and animatronics, I mean, this is the movie you've been fucking waiting for since, Jesus, I don't know, Extasens came out or something like that. I mean, this is that movie, and it's truly beautiful to watch. And I also wanted to say, I know a lot of you address this a bit, but a lot of people make like the Lovecraft reference, and that's just like the go-to reference. I feel like if somebody loves a new horror movie, it's like, this really isn't Lovecraft. Sure, there are elements of it, but I think that this movie is so good for what it is that everything can be forgiven. The acting can be forgiven. I mean, what, Kenneth Welsh is in it. I guess he's as close as we're going to get to as a genre player, because he was in the last, was he in the last couple Romero zombie movies, Diary of the Dead?
I think so, and the lead was in a, he was in The Conspiracy and one other one that I'm forgetting. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
The lead I've seen, and I will say, to be fair with a negative comment about the movie, I was a little bit disappointed with the occult. I that's what got me the most excited about when I was watching the trailers. It's like, who the fuck are these guys in the hooded robes? And it's
right.
Like, this looks like Assault on Precinct 13, where they're in this rundown hospital and these people are just going to like come in and fuck shit up, and it doesn't really happen. And there is an explanation for them, but the movie, for as big of an homage as it is pretty original.
Yes.
You know, and the originality of it is what I really like. Now, do you think, and I hate that I thought this after I just rewatched it today, do you think there's going to be a sequel?
I think it's possible, but I would think their talents would be better used elsewhere. I kind of viewed this more as a debut, kind of this is what we
right.
can do. I hope not. I hope not. But, you know, with the way everything is now, I wouldn't be surprised. Something, you know, speaking to the cult angle, because I said it before and you brought that back, you know, they lacked personality. I mean, the aesthetic is awesome. They're there. It makes sense, as explained. I did like that the plot was twisty, and I didn't see certain elements coming. But it's really, it's not like, well, it's not, you know, like memorably shot per se, but there's some wonderful compositions, and they, specifically the entire last sequence in the morgue with the triangle and the way they place the bodies and the, I love that whole scene. I love the colors, the way it looks. I loved the makeup. I mean, everybody talks about the effects, but nobody's really talked a lot about the makeup work. Specifically on the villain when he's, you know, skinless and he's got that skeletal thing. I loved that look, the way that looked. I loved the scene where he is in the room with his wife and all the tentacles and everything are there, and then it does that long pan back and the window keeps getting smaller and smaller while he's like hacking her to pieces. I thought that was really, really slick. They did a great job with what, I mean, this was a crowd-funded movie. They used Indiegogo.
Right.
And, like, I was looking on IMDb just to kind of bone up, and, you know, like, half the producers are from their crowd-funding campaign.
And I think that's what's remarkable about this movie, and especially for people like us who love movies, this is the type of movie that I feel like is going to be a stepping stone for these two to do something remarkable.
Yeah. I agree.
And, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, when these guys are doing whatever the fuck they're doing, hopefully still using their same original voice, The Void is going to be that movie that people are going to go back to and be like, whoa, I never saw that movie. You know
right.
what I mean? It's going to be like their thing. Or their
right, the thing. I was going to say, well, have you seen The Thing?
Right.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's a great film. I mean, it has flaws, but we just, you know, we talked about Prometheus, which is a great film that has flaws, you know. I just think that in this day and age of internet criticism, if you will, people are very quick to do the, you know, jump on one thing or the other, and I think that this film has merit. I think it shows a lot of promise. I think it shows a lot of artistic talent, given the resources that they had. And
do you know how much they raised for this movie?
I don't. I didn't.
Even, now that you say it's on Indiegogo, I wonder if the budget's on IMDb.
Yeah, I know that
made $30,000 the opening weekend.
Yeah, I was just reading that it made $55,000 on its opening weekend. And they raised $82,510.
God, I wonder how much of their own money they must have put into the movie then. Hang on. What is Box Office Mojo? Bear with us, people. We're looking this up for everybody's benefit. All right, hang on. Lifetime gross is $115,000. I can't believe it's not more, although I bet you this movie made a ton of money on streaming platforms. It had to have. Oh, the production budgets. There isn't a production budget on Box Office Mojo. But anyway, when I looked this up, the movie's actually playing at the Music Box Theater in downtown Chicago, which is where art films play. In Chicago, Music Box Theater, Gene Siskel Film Center. So I think that's a testament to what type of movie this is. If the Music Box Theater in Chicago is going to be playing this movie, this is the movie that certain people are going to want to see. And I do want to address your internet criticism, because that's such a double-edged sword for people like us, because you and I are a part of you know, the online millennial film critics or journalists or whatever we want to call ourselves, which, I mean, I don't want to speak for both of us when I say this, but it's like I have resentment for those people, because it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. You know, half the time a lot of people have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, or they go to watch a movie like The Void and it's just like, oh, 15 minutes in and I can't even take it. It's like, you have no idea what you're watching. You know, it's like people that are half our age that are tweeting or Facebooking or Snapchatting, now I sound old, about this movie, and it's just like, you got to do your homework with stuff. And I feel like The Void is a movie that you need to do your homework with.
Definitely.
You know?
I even had to do, because somebody, I completely forgot the whole Fulci thing, and somebody was like, this looks like Fulci, and I was like, you're absolutely right, you know, and I love that. I love when I remember something, or somebody, you know, somebody teaches me something, I learn something, I learn about a new film. One thing before I forget, with the playing in theaters, one of the cool things that they've been doing is they've been paying folks. So like when they go in to view the film, when they come out, they have the cultist standing in the lobby.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like in the full like get up. Yeah, they put pictures on Facebook. I thought that was a really neat thing. But yeah, no, I agree with, you know, with the internet there. I guess kind of one of the things I like about our take is, you know, we try to, for the most part, celebrate film.
Right.
You know, and that's not to say we all don't have films we dislike, but in general, we're talking about things we love, and we're talking, you know, defending those positions, you know, Suicide Squad, Oscar nominated.
Oscar, you know, winner.
Oscar winner, yeah, sorry, winner. Sorry, Oscar winner, you know, X-Men Origins, but
there you go, X-Men Origins. I'm all about that one.
You know,
right.
You know, I'm over here like Hudson Hawk and Roadhouse. yeah. I with respect to this film, I've seen a lot of people jump, going to the extremes. Is kind of what I was just noticing with some of our colleagues and some people who aren't super into it. They're like, oh, I love it because it's Carpenter, and that's kind of it. And they don't
right.
Or the people that hate it, like, oh, well, the characters were dumb and it was edited bad. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You know, and then it doesn't, you know. So everybody's got, you know, but there are some people with some legitimate criticisms who talk about the character development. And there is some editing flaws that I've picked up, and things of that nature. But again, I'm willing to let it slide because I knew what I was in for. Like, I think that's why this is so dear to me right now, is like, I'm the king of the Friday video on demand release. I'm like every week I have like a site key that shows me what's coming out, you know, and I'm like, oh, that looks like a cheesy horror film. I'm excited about that, you know, and this, I've just been waiting for this. I was waiting for this, you know, 'cause I live in a place where we're not going to get this in a theater. And I remember I was home because my daughter was sick, so I was able to, you know, watch it while she was sleeping, and I was just blown away because I was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. It's exactly what I wanted.
Right.
Of course it has flaws, but I think, you know, just to kind of wind it up here, I think you said it best, you know, if you like practical effects, this is for you. if you like old school cheesy 80s copy of a copy, this right. is for you. If you want the art house, it follows level stuff, this is not for you. This is right. not this is not that kind of movie. This is a chainsaw without any kind of political underpinnings, without any kind of far-reaching ideas. It's simply a scary story to watch in the dark.
Right. It has nothing political, social, or economical to say. It's just a throwback to the VHS tapes that we rented when we were kids, watching movies at our friend's house. I mean, that's what this movie is, and that's what makes this movie work for me. I'm going to rewatch it. You know, the rewatchability on it is most certainly there, and that's another thing that I appreciate. I wasn't bored when I rewatched it again today, and I watched it, whenever it came out, the 14th or earlier than that, I think, this month. You're right, it was an April release. But, I mean, yeah, I know there are going to be people who are going to watch it and they're going to hate it, but, I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, so this isn't the movie for you then, I guess. But anyway, to wrap up The Void, I'm going to be back, or I should say Kyle is going to be back with me next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to be joined by Tim, who we haven't had, or who hasn't been on in a couple weeks. And we're also going to be joined by Jason Callen, who is from the Phi Effect. He's going to hate me if he even listens to this podcast. But anyway, who gives a shit about that? What we're really excited to do, or what we're really excited to talk about next week, is we're going to be talking about Lawrence Kasdan's Silverado.
Yes.
And as a throwback to our early days of podcasting them softly, we are going to do our top five Danny Glover performances, which I'm not more excited to talk about that than Silverado because I love Silverado, but I'm very excited to do our top five Danny Glover performances. So I'm going to look forward to watching, you know, Lethal Weapon, Grand Canyon, which I have Grand on Canyon. DVD that I haven't seen in 10 plus years, which is like the most unsung Kasdan movie he's made.
Yep. And spoiler alert, I will be talking a lot about Predator 2. So just prepare yourself.
We may need a separate podcast for us to do, like, our gush fest. You know what we should do? We should have our own series that's essentially movies like The Void. You know, the VHS movies that we watched the shit out of when we were younger. And The Predator 2 is essentially one of those for me. You know a movie's awesome when Robert Davi has a cameo
yep.
in it. You know, at, like, the height of Robert Davi's Robert Davi-ness. So,
Gary Busey, Morton Downey,
Paxton,
Morton Downey as the
yes,
the reporter,
dude. Ruben Blades,
Maria, Bill Paxton, Maria Conchita Alonso.
I was just gonna say, yeah, the chick from Aliens and Running Man.
And I feel bad because I don't know all their names, but essentially every member of the Scorpios is like played a villain in like every Arnold Schwarzenegger film ever made. So. It's just a great thing.
I'm so bummed out that Predator 3 never got made with Schwarzenegger and Glover. Because I know Rob Rodriguez had been trying to make that forever,
yeah.
I think, in the 90s. I like Predators a lot. I think that's a fun movie.
I do, too. I do, too.
I think Predators is cool because we get to see a lot of scenes that we didn't see in the original movie. Like, the samurai dude actually gets to fight the Predator. We never get to see Billy fighting the Predator in the original movie. But... I'm not as excited for the reboot or whatever.
The Predator. Yeah, I'm a little... The screenshots are leaving me kind of...
Like, they show you the cast, and it's like, oh, that fucking guy from Logan with the robotic arm is, like, the lead because Benicio del Toro dropped out.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be good. I'm not huge on Shane Black. I'm not a believer like most people are. So we'll see what he does with that, but...
I like the nice guys.
I wish the nice guys would have ended as strong as it started.
Right.
I think it starts to taper off a little bit, but I
Definitely.
Think the chemistry between Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good movie. But anyway, we'll be back next week with Silverado and our top five Danny Glover, which I'm very much looking forward to. So, all right, man.
All right.
Everybody go check out The Void, and if you hate it, remember Kyle is the one that liked it more than I did.
Take it easy, guys.